Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
The teachings of Jesus Christ in his 3 short years of ministry changed the world, and today they can change your life. Why don't you take time to stay with us as we consider the parables of Jesus Christ next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chapman. Though the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ lasted just 3 short years, the things he said, the principles he taught, the parables that he shared during those years literally changed the course of human history. And those teachings can change your life today through the ministry of Daily in the Word. Welcome to this program, Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Our present series is entitled Consider the Parables of Christ. During each and every step of this journey, we're going to consider afresh and anew the teachings of Jesus and how they apply to our lives today. Before we join today's message, don't forget to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. You'll find links to recent broadcasts, Dr. Chapel's daily devotional, and many other resources that will help you in your spiritual growth, in addition to this radio program. Today we're going to consider his invitation, Luke chapter 14, verses 16 through 24. Here's Paul Chapel.
If you have accepted Christ as your Savior, you have been declared righteous. You have been declared forgiven. You have been justified. Hey, it's not because I'm so good, and it's not because you're such a good person. We fall way short of the glory of God. But because Jesus took our sin upon him, God the Father declares us righteous in Jesus Christ. And we have that righteousness, not of ourselves, but of him. And so God sends out the invitation, come and dine. Everyone is welcome, he says, come and dine. You can have my forgiveness. But notice, if you would, this morning, the invitation evaded. As wonderful as the invitation is, instead of flocking to Jesus, men began to make excuses. What is it about our pride that wants to act like we don't need the Lord? We're too busy for the Lord. We're too busy for the things of God. Many people are experts at evading God, experts at evading the things of God. Someday, I think for fun, I may just write a book called Excuses I've Heard. One pastor placed in his bulletin some time ago, to make it possible for everyone to attend church next Sunday, we are going to have a special day called No Excuse Sunday. Cots will be provided in the foyer for those who say Sunday is their only day to sleep. We will have steel helmets for those who say the roof would cave in if I came to church. Blankets will be furnished for those who think the church is too cold, and fans for those who think the church is too hot. We will have hearing aids for those who think the pastor speaks too softly, and cotton for those who think he speaks too loudly. Scorecards will be available for those who wish to list the hypocrites present. Relatives will be in attendance for those who like to visit relatives on Sunday. There will be TV dinners available for those who can't go to church and cook their meal on the same day. There will be one section devoted to trees and grass for those who only worship God in nature. And finally, the sanctuary will be decorated with both Christmas poinsettias and Easter lilies for those who have never seen the church without them. Now, folks, let's admit it. Excuses are abundant. We've all had opportunity to hear them, and we've all given them as well. And as the servants went out in this parable, and as they began to say, the master wants you to come. The table's set. He's the bread of life. He has everything ready for you. Everything is ready. Come. All they heard were reasons why people couldn't come. Three excuses I want you to see this morning. Three excuses that could keep a man from heaven. Three excuses that could keep a Christian from growing. Let's see them quickly. First of all, Jesus Christ is evaded because of the cares of the world. Some evaded the Lord for the cares of the world. In verse 18, a man says, the first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground and I must needs go and see it. He says, I am obliged to this. I've got to go do this. It's my duty. It's a part of my career that I miss a lot of church. It's just what I have to do. Now, one must answer this question, or at least ask it, why did the guy buy the land without seeing it in the first place? I remember years ago when I first began to pastor the church here, and I was a very young pastor then. I'm a very young pastor now. But I was a little more qualified to be a younger pastor then. And just kind of enjoying the ministry, one day a fella called me up. He said, Brother Chapel, I'll be coming out to California. He was from the East Coast. He said, I purchased a piece of property out there in the Lancaster area. And he said, I'd like to come and take you for a bite to eat. And if you wouldn't mind, I'd like you to take me out and show me where the property is. He said, the wife and I got this to sort of augment our retirement plans, and we're excited about it, and we just want to come see it. I said, all right, wonderful. And so he came by, and we had a bite to eat. He had this kind of a plat map, and he'd been to some seminar somewhere and gotten real excited about this and purchased this. I had a Thomas Guide map, and we started out Avenue J, and we were having a good time of fellowship, talking about the things of the Lord. We got to about 90th, and sign said Edwards Air Force Base and something else, and he said, yep, they told me it's by Lancaster and by Edwards, good, we're going the right direction. I said, good, wonderful. We kept going on out. We went out to about 165th, and we got out by Saddleback Butte State Park. I said, boy, isn't this great? Saddleback Butte State Park, hey, they got picnic tables out there. Isn't that great? Have to take the family out sometime. Just enjoying the drive, having good fellowship. We kept going further. We saw some old ranch houses and different folks, you know, out in their houses there. Went a little farther, saw some meth labs, I think, out there. I'm not sure what all we saw, but we kept driving along. Finally, we got about 250th or so, and, you know, the chatter kind of died down. That man kind of got pale. I kept driving. I mean, I had to get out to where it was. It was not 400th, but it was in the 300s out there somewhere. We got on some dirt road, and finally he said, Brother Chapel, just take me back. He said, I'll just leave it for my grandchildren. Maybe it'll be worth something then. I didn't want to tell him. I felt like saying, maybe your great-grandchildren, buddy. I'm not sure. But I made a lesson that day in my 28-year-old brain. Do not buy property without looking first. Why did this man do that? I do not know. But this was his reason for not seeing Jesus. It seemed that his first priority was surrounding the things of the world. His first necessity in life was on the temporal, not the eternal. He had to have, if you will, that overtime, that career advancement, that next degree. He had to go to that next level somehow. And to get to that next level, it wasn't going to work to make this appointment with Jesus. How foolish we are. How foolish we are to make such excuses. How foolish could a man be to choose the temporal for the eternal? Listen, I'm all excited when someone gets a promotion at work, and when God blesses you, it's a thrill to see His grace upon you, but it is not a thrill when God is edged out of your life that you might attain those things. Matthew 6:31, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For the Bible is very clear that we should seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto us. Here was a man who evaded Jesus for the cares of this world. I see men who are saved, and they came to Christ at one point in their life, but now there's bigger things on the horizon. They've got the church thing. They got the family about raised, you know. They understand it all. They've read the Bible through a few times, but now they're going to go on. Listen, it's not just unsaved people who make excuses. Some of you a little while ago, I said, you ought to come out for a Monday night or Tuesday night service. And perhaps in your mind, you thought something like, well, that'd be good for some folks. And I hope some folks would do that. You're not against it. You're for the church. You're for the pastor. You're for the conference. But you didn't personalize it yourself because you've got bigger and better things. Why don't I say it again? I want to encourage you to seek first the kingdom of God. This country needs revival. You need revival. We need to encourage one another. Let's not be in the excuse-making business. They evaded Jesus for the cares of the world. Notice, secondly, they evaded Jesus for the concern of their possessions. Verse 19. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me exercised. Now, what this man said he needed to do was of no critical nature for the moment. This could have waited. Proving the oxen, checking out their strength and ability, could have waited. To put this in modern day vernacular, this would be like the guy who just bought a brand new 2008 Corvette. It has about 40 miles on it, and he just really has been wanting to blow the thing and get out on the road and just have some fun. He's got other things in mind. He says, I need to take care of my oxen. Notice, thirdly, there's a man who evaded Jesus for the complaint of a family. Now notice verse 20. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Now, I know what some men are thinking. You're thinking, well, I think that was dumb. The guy would miss seeing Jesus because of property. And who'd want to miss seeing Jesus for a bunch of cows? But now I can understand the guy getting married not being able to go. I can understand that. His wife probably said he can't go. That's not what's happening here. Here's a man who had recently been married. The festivities are over. He has a new life. He has a new responsibility. The Bible describes it in Ephesians 5 as being the head of his family. God's given that to him. But instead of leading his family to Jesus, or at least attempting to do so, he will now use his family as the reason not to go see Jesus. And this is subtle. This is the hard one for pastors to argue. Well, pastor, we'd come, but you know, we need some family time. How does a pastor speak against having family time? But let me just say this morning. Some of the best family time you can have is right around the things of Almighty God. Amen. I've seen a lot of men say to me, well, you know, family, I just use my family here for a reason. I've been here 22 years now. And I've seen some of the result of that. I want to tell you something. I'm not going to use my family as my reason to do less for God. I think of Luke 14, 26. Notice what it says right there. You're not going to like it, but it is in the Bible. Luke 14, 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life, also he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. He says, Jesus Christ telling me to hate my family? No. But what the passage speaks of is this. Our love for him should be so passionate, so deep. Our longing to know him more should be so great that in comparison, it is as if we cared nothing for anything or anyone else. It is not that we do not, but that we love the Lord to that extent. When someone would use their family as a reason to not come to church or to not come to Christ, they are missing the very necessity of life, and that is seeking first the kingdom of God with all of their heart, soul, and mind, knowing him. I think of many Bible illustrations. One of my favorite is the Philippian jailer. Paul and Silas were in jail at midnight. They began to sing praises unto the Lord. Acts chapter 16 and verse 30, and he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? He'd heard their songs. He'd seen the earthquake. The Philippian jailer said, what do I need to do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, and straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. You say, why did all of the family get saved, pastor? Why did all the house get baptized? Because there was a daddy who was a prison keeper by day, and he heard the gospel of Jesus, and he chose to trust Jesus Christ as his Savior. and all of his house said, look at what daddy's done. Listen to what daddy's saying. And they put their faith in Jesus Christ. Dear daddy, don't stand between your family and eternity with Jesus Christ. Don't say I'll choose him later. Don't say I need more time with my family or my career and one day have the eternal blood of your family on your hands. Don't use your family as an excuse as to why you can't come to Jesus Christ. This daddy came and his family followed. Oh, what a blessing. But what a tremendous challenge and what a tremendous tragedy that this man would say, I'm not going to come. I've got a wife. We see the invitation expressed. We see the invitation evaded. Excuse after excuse after excuse. But notice finally this morning, the invitation expanded. Now notice this in verse 21. So the servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servants, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Notice, first of all, this is an urgent invitation. In verse 21, the Bible says the master of the house said, go out quickly into the streets. This invitation was urgent in a practical sense. The food was on the table. But in the spiritual sense, it is very urgent that the message get out. Oh, you see, the fact of the matter is Jesus spoke to his disciples and he said, say not ye there are yet 4 months and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, look on the fields. They are white already unto harvest. Jesus said, it is urgent. He said, I must work the works of my Father while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. My friends, do you recognize that this whole world is winding down and Jesus Christ is coming again and we must make haste to get the gospel out. I mean the gospel plan of salvation from house to house. I mean spreading it via the radio or the bus ministry or telling our friends at work or whatever it takes. The work of the Lord requires haste. Robert Moffat said, we'll have all of eternity to celebrate our victories, but only one short hour before sunset to win them. And oh, how we must recognize we have that one short hour and we must with haste go out. It not only required haste, but it requires heart. For no one will invite someone else to Jesus unless they have a great heart for God, unless they have a great heart of humility. I'm afraid one of the great idolatries in our lives is the fear of others and what others think. And sometimes that's why we do not witness. And sometimes that's why we are not faithful. But I believe God would have every one of us to have a heart to be like these servants who would go out and reach the poor and the lame and the halt and the blind and go into the highways and hedges and invite people to come to Jesus. Paul said in Acts 20 verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept nothing back but was profitable unto you and have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. Oh, thank God for our bus ministry this morning, even as I speak, bringing children in and going over into these classrooms across the way. And right now they're being taught, and this afternoon they'll be taught. And I'm saying thank God that others would go and reach. But all of us need to have a part in getting the invitation of Jesus out into this community. Oh, it's an urgent invitation. But notice, secondly, it's an unrestricted invitation. You saw what Revelation said a moment ago. It said, whosoever will may come. I thank God that the gospel is a whosoever gospel. And I thank God that it is for the needy, if the needy will come. I mean, the Bible says in verse 21, the poor, the maimed, the halt, the blind. Someday you might be sitting at Lancaster Baptist Church and you might have on a nice suit and a modest dress, and that's a wonderful thing. And you might sit down to someone who maybe is tattooed from top to bottom. Maybe they've had all kinds of problems. Maybe someone who hasn't bathed in recent days. Maybe they're not from your cultural or ethnic background. Maybe they're from the other side of the tracks. And be careful lest you think, what in the world? Who are they? The first thought that we ought to have from our heart is, thank God that someone else came. Maybe they'll hear about Jesus and have their life changed today. The gospel's not for the select few. The gospel is for all who will come to the Lord Jesus Christ. James chapter 2 and verse 5. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? I thank God that when my wife Terry was just a junior high girl, that a dear man from IBM, an executive man, on Saturday said, I'll give my time on Saturday and I'll knock on doors and I'll invite boys and girls to come and ride my bus. And he went to her door. And though she did not know the Lord, her family did not know the Lord, he invited her to come. And he said, come, come to church. And then she went to church finally after the third invitation. And she sat in the back and she heard the preacher preach about hell and how you don't have to go there. And he said, come to Jesus and be saved. She wanted to go and be saved, but she was too afraid. And thank God, though she was not saved on Tuesday, on Sunday, someone on Tuesday went to her home, opened the Bible, and showed her how to be saved. And she's a wonderful godly wife and pastor's wife and mother this morning. Why? Because somebody extended Jesus Christ's invitation to her. And there's somebody that you can invite this week to come and know Jesus as their Savior. And you can say, come to my church and hear about him. And here's a gospel message and you can know about him. I think of that song, Just As I Am, Without One Plea, But That Thy Blood Was Shed For Me. O Lamb of God, I come just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot. O Lamb of God, I come. I'm glad that he wants us all to come. He says to the needy, come. He says to the lost, come. And in Colossians 1 and verse 28, the Bible says, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Oh, I don't know who's going to get saved. I really don't. But I want to warn every man. I want to tell every man that Jesus loves them and that Jesus died on the cross for their sin. And by the way, that is exactly why this church is in existence, that every person in Lancaster and Palmdale and Tehachapi and Acton and throughout this region will at least have the chance to hear that Jesus loves them. And that he made a supper and he invites them to come that they might spend eternity. Well, the opportunity for these three apparently has been lost. Verse 24 says, for I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. We do not have time to ponder the theological ramifications. Some who blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Some who say no one too many times. No doubt that happens. All we know is that in this parable, those three excuse makers went beyond their point of opportunity. In fact, the Bible says in Hebrews 12, 25, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refuse him that spake on earth, how much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven? I want to ask you this question. Is there someone in this room? And you've heard the gospel and you've heard about Jesus and you've heard about heaven and you know you need to trust Christ as your Savior and you know you need to respond and come and say, Lord, I want my sins forgiven. I know you shed your blood for my sin. I want to be justified. I want to be declared righteous by God through Christ. And Lord, I need that. Is there someone here? You know you need to do that, but you've been making excuses. If you got saved, you're afraid you'd have to give up too much. Let me tell you, whatever you'd give up, God will replace it tenfold. You want to hold on to that bottle so you can have a little more fun while you burn for all of eternity. My friend, that is not a good trade. You want to hold on to those old friends so that you can face judgment for all of eternity. My friend, turn away from whatever your excuse is today and come to Jesus Christ. Don't play let's make a deal with Satan. And some of you this morning may be saved. And you believe Christ and you've trusted in his blood to be the covering for your sin. But perhaps you've been making some excuses as to why you cannot serve the Lord or be one of the servants who witnesses or who helps others.
Well, you've been listening to Daily in the Word, the daily teaching and preaching ministry of Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Thanks so much for joining us for today's edition of Daily in the Word. And I want to encourage you, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, if you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven and that Jesus Christ is in your life, I want to encourage you to visit us online or to call us toll-free and let us talk with you about that. We would be happy to help you understand more clearly what it means to trust Jesus Christ alone as your Savior. Our toll-free number is 1-800-201-7748. Again, 1-800-201-7748. or you can visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Not only can you find out more information about salvation, but there's a lot of resources on our website that will help you and encourage you in your spiritual growth, including a daily devotional from Dr. Chapel, links to recent broadcasts that perhaps you missed, also a way to subscribe to the podcast of Daily in the Word so you can take this program with you on your iPod or on your computer to listen to at your convenience. This and many, many more resources are available at dailyintheword.org. I want to encourage you to be sure to check out the link about new publications resources. You'll see the photo there on the homepage. There's a link to Dr. Chapel's new book. Mrs. Chapel has written a new book entitled The Choice is Yours, and many other resources that we know will encourage you in your journey with the Lord Jesus Christ. All of this again at dailyintheword.org. We'd love to hear from you. Toll free 1-800-201-7748, or write to us. Send your letter to Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Once again, that's Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thank you so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.